Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Flagler Beach, Florida, and earned a BA in finance from the University of Florida. While in college, she fell in love with a pair of designer jeans that she could not afford, so she decided to put an ad on Craigslist that said she would clean a house for $99 plus tax, the exact cost of the jeans, which ultimately led her to become the founder and CEO of Student Made. The author of Permission to Screw Up, her name, Kristen Hadid. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Kristen Hadid, who's doing something that most people would say is impossible. You got to stay tuned. You'll find out. Kristen, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
We can. So I grew up in a house where my parents really fostered our creativity, our curiosity. You know, I learned that failing is okay. It's a lesson. It's a chance to learn something and do it better next time. And so I think as a kid, I just wasn't really afraid to go after things that I was excited about. And I would say I was entrepreneurial, but I never thought that being an entrepreneur was in the cards for me because my parents didn't own businesses. But looking back, I did have a lemonade stand. I had a babysitting service. I think I asked for a cash register for my birthday when I was six. So I think if you were to ask my parents, they would tell you that they always knew I was destined to be a business owner.
Did you ask Dad to put some money in the cash register when he gave you the cash register?
No? I did. And you know, my parents, that's another thing. They really taught my sister and I that we have to work hard and that things can't come easy. And so there were many times I remember just having trouble with homework and my parents not giving us the answers. When I wanted the jeans in college, you know, I asked them for the money knowing they would say no. And of course they did say no. So I think that also just really, you know, it made me realize that if you want something in life, you really have to work for it.
What's the single biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the single biggest thing you learned from Mom?
My mom, she is the most compassionate, empathetic person that I've ever met, and I think I've tried to emulate those qualities in her as a leader. And my dad, absolutely follow what makes you excited and what you're curious about.
All right, you went to the University of Florida. You're a Gator. What were you like as a freshman and a sophomore?
Lost. I changed my major 9 times by the end of my sophomore year. And, you know, I was on that fictional chase for the dream job that, you know, you think exists, the one that pays a lot of money and comes with all these perks. And I was just trying to figure out what that was. And all my friends were studying finance. They had plans to move to New York and work on Wall Street. And so I thought that's what I wanted to do with my life, even though I really didn't know what being an investment banker even really meant. I was really lost trying to figure it out and find my way.
We're talking to Kristen Hadid, who ultimately got a BA in finance from the University of Florida. All right, the story about the pair of designer jeans that has transformed thousands of lives.
Well, okay, so the story goes, I went to the mall one day, 19 years old, shouldn't have been there, had no money, walked by a store, fell in love with this pair of jeans, and called my parents just to see if they would give me the money, knowing they would say no. They did say no. And so my next thought is, what could I do to just make enough money to buy these jeans? And my first thought was to put an ad on Craigslist. I charged exactly the price of the jeans. A woman hired me, and she had an over 4,000 square foot house. So you can imagine, you know, I'm used to cleaning my room, but not professionally cleaning a home. And it was a nightmare. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. She paid me, though. I left. I bought the jeans the next day, thought that was it. And then she called me and said she wanted me to come back and clean her house every week and then offered to teach me how to clean.
Hmm. How did she teach you how to clean a 4,000 square foot house?
Yeah, she showed me how.
And did she keep paying you only $99 to do it?
She rounded it up to 100. You know, taught me the big things that I had missed the first time I cleaned her home, and then told her friends about me, and they told their friends about me, and next thing I knew, I was going to class, cleaning a house, going to class, cleaning 7 days a week.
All right, at 21, you hired 60 people. And 45 of them quit 3 days later.
Very bad day, yes. So I get this contract to clean 800 empty apartments. And they were handing them out like candy. Anyone who was willing to do the work, they would give you the contract because the work was just so awful. These are empty college apartments, you know. And I hire 60 people, all peers of mine. No real interview process or training process. I was 21, clueless in leadership. And had no clue how to inspire a team, you know, and 3 days in, 45 of the 60 walked out because the job was horrible, cleaning toilets.
And also in defense of those kids, it was in the summer, 100 degrees, humid down there in Florida. What were you paying those kids, Kristen?
I could only afford to pay just above minimum wage. So really, I mean, why would people want to stay? The job was hard, the pay wasn't great, and then you have a leader that doesn't really know what she's doing.
All right, you graduated from the University of Florida in 2010, and you got an offer for your dream job in finance. What did you do?
Well, I turned it down because that summer when I had those 45 people walk out, something happened in me. I became obsessed with learning how to be a leader and how to create a place where people really wanted to be. I got those 45 people back by just admitting that I had no clue what I was doing. And I think they saw that I was a human and didn't, you know, I just needed help. They came back, we finished the work. And I decided to turn down a job in finance because I wanted to see if I could make this cleaning company actually work. And now it's been 12 years.
And the name of the company is Student Made. When we come back, we're going to talk about Student Made to Kristen Hadid, www.studentmade.com or www.kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Hadid, H-A-D-E-E-D.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Kristen Hadid. And since 2009, she's been the founder and CEO of Student Made. Kristen, Student Made.
Yes. So turned down this job in finance, and I'm determined to make this company work. But it was a really big challenge. You know, how do you make people feel inspired and valued and significant when the job entails cleaning dirty toilets? The margins are low, so you can't really afford to pay people what they deserve to be paid for that kind of work. You can't afford promotions and training and development. And so I quickly realized that the most important piece of the business is the environment, the culture. You know, how do people feel when they walk in? How do they feel when they walk out? And so that's where I immediately began to focus. And 21 years old, you know, learning everything I possibly could about business, reading tons of books, learning from other entrepreneurs in my community, and just really trying to get that culture piece right.
Every college kid I know would say, Kristen, I want for someone else to clean my sorority or frat house and toilet. I don't want to clean toilets. Talk about the culture that you have to get these young people to clean toilets.
Well, many of the people who work with us, you know, this is their first job. We hire as young as high school. And so not all of our employees are students, but a big majority of them are. And so this is their first job. So we have an added challenge of we have to really train and teach everyone, not just the cleaning, but also just job skills, you know. So that's a huge part of it. So a huge part of our culture is really investing in the growth and development of our people. We like to say that we build leaders, that we teach things that our people can take with them when they graduate and move on from the company that will help them in their future pursuits. But really, we've just created a place where people really feel they belong. We focus a lot on relationships. We don't allow texting. Everything is face to face. And just we really try to make people feel like they have these meaningful relationships so that they feel supported and like, you know, we're all in this together.
All right. In 2015, you gave a TED Talk, a second TED Talk. It's had 3 million plus views. It was about millennials. Share with us the talk.
Well, you know, when I tell people about Student Made, the response usually is, how do you get millennials to clean? And to be honest with you, as I built my business, never once did I wake up and ask myself, how do I get millennials to clean? It was, how do I get anyone to be excited about cleaning? And so I think what we do sometimes is we take generational, you know, stereotypes. We kind of put people in boxes. We say, okay, millennials are this way and baby boomers are this way. And I've tried to take a different approach to, all right, there's definitely things that have shaped and influenced generations. For millennials, we can talk about some of those things. But at the end of the day, we're all humans and we all want to feel like we matter and that we're working on something that's important and impactful. And so I've tried to focus on what do we have in common and not, you know, feeding into the stereotypes. But that being said, I do think that there are a lot of things that have influenced this rising generation.
Why are they the way they are?
Well, I think technology is a huge piece of this. So, one, our world is so instant. You know, you want to find the directions to someplace, you Google it, and step by step, here's where you go. Dating, now there's an app, there you go, you're matched with somebody. You want to watch a movie, two clicks, the movie's playing. And so I think, you know, when we look at millennials, we hear things like, oh, millennials are so entitled, they want instant gratification, they're not getting what they want in this job, they're going to move on quickly to find another job. And I think it's because the things that really matter in life, like building a career and building real relationships, take time and patience. And we weren't taught those things because everything that we know is so instant because of technology. So it's not that we intend to be that way, but we need to be taught what realistically, how long does it take to build a career? So that's something that we teach in Student Made. When people come in, we try to lay out, here's what it takes. And you're going to fall down a lot and you're going to be confused and lost and feel like, am I on the right path? And that's all normal. It takes time to really build a career. And because of that, our turnover is very low. We don't have people leaving the company. Another thing is many millennials grew up with helicopter parents, parents who love their children. You know, no one did this on purpose, but overhelped and did a lot of the hard things for their kids. We had a student, I remember once, ask where she could get a stamp and told us that whenever she needs a stamp, her mom mails her a stamp and that she didn't have time to wait. And we were like, oh my goodness, we can help you learn how to get a stamp a lot faster. Parents that come in and expect to be in the interview or they call and ask for time off on behalf of their children. And so I think the issue with that is that we see a lot of people in my company who don't have confidence in their abilities and they're afraid to make a decision because they don't want to fail because they haven't really had the chance to fail. And even if you didn't have helicopter parents, technology's done the same thing because if you have a question now, you can just Google it. So we're not used to thinking for ourselves. So we really need people to give us that chance so we can believe in ourselves.
A few years ago, we had a guy, Dr. Joe White, who for 40 plus years, he and his wife have had Kanakuk Ministries in Missouri, mm-hmm. Tens of thousands of kids come. And they get 3,000-4,000 volunteers, okay, in camps. Yeah. He says, parents today, in the mistaken name of love, try to prevent their kids from experiencing the very things that made us who we are today. Now I quote you.
Yes.
Kristen Hadid, often we are the first person to ever give them negative feedback.
Yes, so that's another thing. I think, you know, we were raised in what was called we're the participation generation. We got a trophy for everything we did. You get stickers if you win, you get stickers if you don't win, you get a trophy whether you know, won the game or not. And so I think also we were raised in what was called the self-esteem movement when parents and educators were taught that the best thing they could do for us was tell us how amazing we are. So what happens is if you've been told you're amazing at everything and you get trophies for everything, you don't actually know what you're good at. And even worse, you don't know where your weaknesses are. So oftentimes in my company, we'll give feedback and the response is, you know, someone in tears, or they don't know how to handle it or process it because this is the first time they may have ever been given that critical feedback. So we actually do a whole workshop on feedback. This is what it looks like. This is the purpose of it. This is how it's going to feel. And that, and our students learn that before they even learn how to dust.
Tell us about some of the courses, in-house courses, you pay these kids who are cleaning the houses, you pay them to take.
So the feedback is certainly one of them. We do a lot of work around helping them find their strengths and helping them understand what kind of environment and job career will allow them to use those strengths, how to articulate them in an interview, how to walk into a room and confidently introduce themselves, how to handle conflict, how to build relationships that are way beyond from behind a screen, you know, how to be vulnerable, how to really open up and allow for a deeper connection. I mean, things that have nothing to do with cleaning. And all of these workshops are student taught. We have, everything is in-house. We've created the curriculum because, you know, my belief is if we really want people to be successful, we have to invest in them. Instead of complaining about all the things that they can't do or that, you know, they're not measuring up to, let's teach. And then as a plus, they can use these skills wherever they go.
Do you screen these kids or do you just accept anybody that wants to come and work?
At first, when I first started the business, if you had a pulse, you were hired. Now we absolutely screen. But the biggest thing we're looking for is a desire to grow. You know, if someone comes into our culture and they are not interested in growing as a leader, it will not be a good fit. And what's interesting is we don't really advertise for hiring or recruitment. It's a lot of word of mouth. And when people come to the company, they will say, is this the place where you learn how to be a leader? And it's almost as if they don't know you have to mop and vacuum. So we have to say yes, but do you know it's also cleaning? So it's just interesting. We've got this reputation as a leadership development company.
And you pay based on results.
We do. And, you know, actually, to be truthful with you, we're going back and forth on this. We've had periods where we pay based on performance. But one of the values we have in the company and the things we talk about is it's okay to fail and it's okay to fall down and you have to learn from that and get back up. So we felt like our pay by performance, which rewarded perfect performance, kind of went against that philosophy. So now we don't pay by performance because we want to create a place where people really feel like it's okay to fail as long as you learn from it. We're really big on accountability. When you do make a mistake, you have to own it and you have to tell us how you're going to make sure it doesn't happen again and what your plan is. But now we're hearing, oh, well, if we do a really good job, we should be rewarded for it. So now we're thinking of incorporating that back in, but in a way that still allows our culture to be one that we do, you know, failure is inevitable and it's okay.
We're talking to Kristen Hadid. If you want to learn more, www.studentmade.com. And a quote from Warren Buffett. Boy, he'd be here clapping, praising your... Do you love your children enough to let them experience the great joy of making a life for themselves? Let them fail. And she's the author of Permission to Screw Up. Story of my life. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Kristen Hadid, the author of Permission to Screw Up. You talked about your retention rate in the last segment. The cleaning industry average length of employment is 2 months. How long is yours?
Well, our people usually stay with us until they graduate from school. And so that could look like 2 years, 4 years. We have some who are on our leadership team who've been with the company for 9, 10 years. And I think, I'll be honest, when I started it, I had this real fear of people leaving. And then when we started investing in people, I began to realize the goal of leadership is to help people become successful and then help them get to the next step. And when I switched that mentality to trying to keep people hostage versus it's okay if they move on, next thing I knew, no one really wanted to leave. And I think it's because they feel really valued because you're investing in them and this has nothing to do with their actual job. So the recipient of that feels like, wow, this company really cares about me.
most anybody that's in a leadership role that's listening says, I'm hiring millennial after millennial. Kristen, how do I motivate them?
Well, I think one is identify all of the skills that you need people to embody so that they can do their jobs well, and then ask, do you train on all these things? And then take it a step further and think, okay, what are some other skills that are critical for success? And can we teach these things in our onboarding and training? Because when you do that, the message you're sending to the people you're hiring is, we care about you. We're going to invest all of this in you up front, knowing that there's a chance that you may move on. And so you're kind of earning their loyalty and buy-in from the beginning because you're investing in them. I think honest communication and expectations is also really important. We are very honest with our people. We have regular feedback sessions where we tell them where they're doing well, where they're not. I think that's how you build trust. And then we also say that ownership is required in their own growth and development, that if they want to talk about their future trajectory in the company, they have to call a meeting and tell us what they want, what they're hoping to get. And then it's our job to be honest with them on if they're ready for that, and if not, what they can do in order to get there. So I just think the more that you can have these conversations, because that's when people leave, when they don't feel like they're growing, they don't feel like anyone really cares about their future trajectory. I don't actually think it takes that much effort to show people that you care about them. And the results.
A lot of people would say that millennials don't want to stay with a company. They just want to go from one to another after another. Is that what they tell you?
Well, I think Student Made proves that millennials will stay, because here we are in an industry that is not glamorous, and our millennials stay. And actually, there are many times where we have to force people to leave, because we know that they're just staying because they're comfortable and they're afraid to take that next step in their lives. And it's our job to really encourage them to go after that next thing and do that. So I don't really buy that. I think what it is that technology has made it so easy now to apply for jobs, to see what other companies are doing, to hear from our friends who are really happy in their jobs. So if we're working in a place where we don't feel like we matter, we are motivated to go find a place who will treat us the way that we deserve. And I don't think it's about money. I think it's about creating a place where people really feel safe, inspired, valued, and like they're working on something that's impactful.
Many, many years ago, I met Mary Kay Ash, the founder of Mary Kay, the pink Cadillacs, down in Dallas. And she talked about P&L. Not just meeting profit and loss, but P&L also means people and love.
Yes, and both are important. And I've had times where I focus so much on the culture that the numbers weren't a focus. And I learned, okay, in order to take care of people, you have to care about the numbers, and both matter. And so I don't think it works unless you have a focus on both. However, I think if you want your people to really make your customers happy and to be motivated to hit the goals that you set for them, they have to feel like you care about them first and foremost. So we say our people are our largest customers, and if we take care of them, they will take care of our customers.
Tell us about a couple former employees, if you would.
So let's talk about Megan. Megan worked with us for many years, and she was kind of lost in her life, wasn't sure what she wanted to do after college. She began cleaning the home of a woman named Mrs. Byron, and they formed a really special relationship. Megan would tell her about her fears of graduating. Miss Byron told her about her career. She was a teacher. And sadly, Miss Byron passed away. But when she was in hospice, she actually asked for Megan. Megan was the person that she wanted to see at the end of her life, which just shows this bond that they had. Well, Megan went on to become a teacher, and she said that it was a lot of what she learned from Miss Byron, and Miss Byron's story inspired her. So I think I love her story because it shows how much we have to offer one another and what we can learn from one another cross generations. So that's one of my favorite stories.
Drew,
I remember when he first interviewed for a job at Student Made, he told me that his dream was to own a Chick-fil-A restaurant. And he was probably, 18 at the time. And after he graduated from Student Made, he went on to work for Chick-fil-A. And their ownership program is very competitive. I believe it's something like 40,000 people apply and only 100 get accepted to own a location. And so he's been through the process three or four times, been turned down, and this last time he got it. He's now on the track to being an owner, and he told me that everything he learned in Student Made helped him excel in that interview and is the reason he kept going back after he was not accepted. So, you know, that's what it's about. It's about helping people be successful later in their life.
All right. You've helped hundreds, if not thousands, of students. What's the single biggest thing they've taught you these past 12 years?
Oh, my goodness. The single biggest thing that they've taught me is the importance of being human. You know, I think about all the people who came into my office and gave me tough feedback and told me, you know, I don't think that you're the leader that you really are right now in this moment. And sometimes in leadership, there's this pressure that you have to be strong. You have to have all the answers. You have to, you know, pretend like you know what you're doing even when you don't. And they just remind me to be myself, that if I don't know what the next step is, okay, say it out loud. That's how you earn trust and people are there to help you. So I'm just humbled by all the critical feedback I've received over the years that has reminded me the best thing I can be as a leader is just human.
We're talking to Kristen Hadid. While in college, she fell in love with a pair of designer jeans that she couldn't afford, so she decided to put an ad on Craigslist that said she would clean a house, a 4,000-square-foot house, for $99 plus tax, the exact cost of the jeans. Now, she's the founder and CEO of Student Made. All right, you're a Gator. You're a proud Gator. All Gators are proud. But boy, there's been one. A kid named Tim Tebow, who was there when you were there.
He was.
Tell us about this Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow was there, and I have to tell you, I'm such a bad Gator fan. I cleaned his house, and I didn't know it was him.
Kristen.
I should have just said that. But I can't say that I'm a,
you
know.
The name of the book that she wrote is Permission to Screw Up, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, but he was great. You know, he was obviously, you know, the talk of the town. But when I was in college, we won 3 national championships, 2 basketball and 1 football. So it was a really exciting time to be there.
And now he's got this. He just got married a couple weeks ago. And he's got this Tim Tebow Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable young man. Special young man.
Yep.
All right. There's a famous saying, don't tell me how much you know until you show me how much you care about being a servant leader. Please.
Yeah. I think, again, it's the ego. You know, we go in and we tell people what to do and we try to act strong and we think that this is how we inspire buy-in, and that's just not how you do it. You know, people first and foremost want to know that you care about them. Do you know what's going on in their life? Do you know their name? I mean, I know that sounds so simple, but when I think about those 45 people who walked out, I was such a bad leader, I didn't even know their names. So do you know their names? Do you know what's going on in their life? Do you know what their dreams are? Do you know what they're passionate about? You have to earn loyalty every single day. And you do that by showing that you care.
We're talking to Kristen Hadid. If you want to learn more, www.studentmade.com or www.kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Hadid, H-A-D-E-E-D.com. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Kristen Hadid, the founder and CEO of StudentMate. If there's a parent listening tonight saying, this is unbelievable, Kristen, how can I get my kid to simply clean his or her room? What do you say?
Well, I think it's about involving your kids in the decisions. You know, can you sit down and say, okay, the end result is we need some help around the house. So what are some things that you think you could do? And I follow that in leadership. You know, whenever I need people's help with something, I invite them along the journey with me. I make them feel a part of it. Like, we're doing this together. We're figuring it out together. I think that's how you bring people along and you get people to care. And then I think also you can't, you know, I don't think it's the best idea to pay them for something that is expected of them. I think you want to teach a work ethic. You know, here are the things that are a requirement for you to be a part of this family, to contribute, you know, and that's how my parents definitely were with my sister and I.
You talked earlier about technology is a huge factor in kids today. And in that TED Talk, you mentioned a couple of apps, Yik Yak and Tinder.
Well, Yik Yak isn't around anymore. I think it's important to talk about, though. Yik Yak was a way for, essentially, for kids to bully one another while remaining anonymous. It used your location. Let's say there was someone in class giving a presentation. Everyone in the class could be on the app talking about the person giving the presentation, and it's completely anonymous. So I think it just shows that social media and all these things that we have today, I think it's really affecting the self-esteem of young people. I think that there's a lot of bullying happening. I think that a lot of young people, especially Gen Z, the generation that comes after millennials, these are the people who got cell phones in elementary school. You know, there's a lot of bullying, and we need to, as parents, as leaders, just check in, you know, make sure that our young people are okay and give them chances to really meaningfully connect in person with people so they feel like they have a great circle of friends who care about them. Tinder is online dating, a dating app, and I think it just shows how instant things are. You know, you put in what you want and you match with people, and it shows that technology has totally changed the way we interact, and we have to remember that we're human and we still need to keep that human interaction.
We're talking to Kristen Hadid, the author of Permission to Screw Up. I quote you now, I am what you might call an accidental entrepreneur. Why did you write the book?
Well, I always wanted to write a book. I got the book contract in an unexpected way. I was giving a talk and my publisher was in the audience, and after my talk asked me to write a book. So when I began to write, I actually started writing a book about millennials, and I ended up throwing it away because I thought that everything I was writing about really applied to all human beings. And I almost gave up. I had a friend who told me the right book to write is the one that is the hardest to write. And I thought about that. What would make this book hard? And I realized talking about all my failures would be really hard. But I would have loved to have that book when I was starting out, because I was messing up so much, and not just at the beginning, throughout my journey. And I felt like I was the only one. And I don't think it's something we talk about. So there are some things in the book that are really embarrassing, devastating failures that affected not just me, but a lot of people in my company. I think they're important to talk about.
If you want to learn more, www.studentmade.com. I quote you again, vulnerability is where trust is born.
Yes. So when we can talk about our failures, when we can say, I messed up, I don't have the answer, I need help, I need more training. You know, this is what vulnerability looks like at work. And it is how you build trust. No one trusts the person who always has the answer, never raises their hand, says, I need help. We know that not anyone is perfect. So when someone acts as if they are, we don't trust. So that's a huge component too in the business. You know, we just believe in failure is a normal thing and we're going to talk about it. But it doesn't mean that we're complacent. When you fail, talk about it. What did you learn? And do it differently next time. So that's definitely a message in the book.
You are definitely an old soul. You know that Kristen Hadid, she graduated college 10 years ago. Think about that. All right. A single mom listening. Talk to that single mom about tough love.
Yes. Tough love is really hard, but it's also the best thing I think you can do for your kids. Tough love is telling them when they fall short and teaching them what exactly they did and what the impact of that is, and having a conversation around what they can do differently next time to have a different result. It's also recognizing their strengths and helping them see the things that they're really good at. Tough love is not giving the answers. It's allowing our kids to fall down and telling them that we know they can get back up. And it's, I'm sure, so hard to watch as a parent. I know as a leader, when I watch people fail in my company, it's so hard. But I know that I'm helping them grow in that moment, and that if I love them, that's what I have to do.
Let's talk about fear. 88% of what people worry about never happens, and fear is false expectations appearing real. Fear.
I had a mentor one time give me the best advice. He said, the next time you're afraid of something, think about what is the worst thing that could happen in this scenario, and make a plan for that. What would you do if that worst case thing happened? And once you have a plan, you're all of a sudden not afraid because you're prepared for worst case. And how often does worst case actually happen? It rarely ever happens, you know? So, yeah, I also think the way that I grew up, I was more inclined to take risks because I had fallen down a lot and learned that I could get back up. So that's a huge part of it. If you haven't failed much in your life, I think fear can, you know, paralyze you from taking action.
Kristen Hadid, what's your definition of success?
I measure success by the way my company touches the lives of other people. I think that's what it's all about.
All right. I quote you again. My favorite book of all time is Delivering Happiness, The Story of Zappos.com, Zappos.com.
That was one of the first books I read when starting my business. And the reason it's my favorite book is because it taught me that culture is a feeling. And at that time, I was investing so much money in things, ping pong tables. We had a DJ spinning live music in the office. You know, I didn't have any money, but I was using anything I had because I thought that's the only way I could keep people happy. But people were still quitting and I couldn't figure it out. I read this book and I realized, oh, it's not about that. It's about feeling. So I had a meeting with my team and I asked them, how do you want to feel? And all these amazing words came up, and I realized that all the things I was buying weren't going to make people feel that way. And so that was a really pivotal turning point for me.
What advice would you give someone looking to start his or her own business?
Just do it. I think people plan to death. You know, you can, a business plan is important, but things aren't going to go according to plan, and that actually is the plan. So you just have to try. You have to do it, and you're going to learn, and things aren't going to go the way that you might think they will go. I know so many people who are just stuck in that planning mode and they don't actually take the first step.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice do you give to our young listeners, please?
Young listeners, my advice is life is a journey. Success is a journey. You don't wake up one day and say, oh, I'm here, I've made it. You know, I'm here for the rest of my life. It's this continuous journey of finding what you're excited about, reinventing yourself. And so be patient, enjoy the journey, and look in your life for the opportunities you have to grow. I mean, look what our students are learning at a cleaning company. You know, what are the opportunities you have in your life? And take any and all that will help you grow.
Kristen Hadid, you could be the poster child for With God, Anything is Possible. Thanks a million for coming up.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Frasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.